Well, thank you for all coming out tonight. It's good to see you. Before I get started here, I would like to say most of you know that I've been in the firefighting business for a long time. And when Donnie gave that announcement about the children dying early and then a crib death is usually what we called it. And we would, when we responded to one of those calls, we would try to give CPR to that little child. But it's hard to do. And sometimes you lose them, and sometimes you win. But we have won a lot, and we've come a long way. And a lot of people, a lot of children die because they get down behind the mattress. And they smother to death mostly. But then they just naturally do it too. They just naturally die from it. It's just a child thing. So I just wanted to bring that out to you. So when I started out as a speaker, I thought that I could do that. I thought that there's no way I could do that. There's no way I could do it, get up and do a speech. But speaking is one of the hardest things in the world to do for me and for a lot of other people too. People still get their queasy feelings in their stomachs when they get up here and try to speak. So that happens to me, and it happened to you, and there's a lot of other people it happens to. So as a firefighter, I would rather attack a burning fire with the smoke billowing out of the ceilings and the roof and the doors and the windows than to get up here and make a speech. It's that bad. But it's getting better now. It's getting better. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. So I would encourage anybody, we got some good people here that are good speakers. And there's other people here that are good speakers also. And they would do a good job too if they would give it a try. But it's good to give it a try because you learn from it and you grow from it. You grow because you've learned and you have confidence. You have confidence in yourself and you build it in yourself. And if anyone would love to become a speaker or a minister or preacher, Donnie's got a good course of going right pretty soon here. And sign up for that if you could. And try it. Give it a try. So the title tonight is Into Our Hands. And that happened to be the last song we're going to sing tonight. Is Into Our Hands. And Paul was talking to the people of Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonica 2:4, he says that we have been approved. We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. And the gospel is just simply good news. Good news of the kingdom of God. So we've been entrusted. That's the men of the church have been entrusted with God's word, and so we speak. So we get up and speak, and we try to spread the gospel, and we do it not as pleasing a man, but we please God when we do it. And God is the one who tests our hearts. God himself has trusted the men of the church to preach the gospel to the world. And that's just for the men. The women have their part too, and they have a big part of it. Don't think they don't. They've got a big job. And they do a fine job too of doing it. We've got some good women here that does a good job of supporting and helping the men do their jobs. This is not a small task that God has given us. He's given us this assignment, but it's not going to be an easy job, and it's not going to be it's not going to be overwhelming. But we have got to gird up our loins and do it. That's about what you've got to do. Now, Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, Paul told young Timothy, he said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his coming of his kingdom, preach the word. Paul said, preach the word to Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, extort with all longsuffering and teachings. Now, rebuke just means to expose something that's been done or something that people do or something that's wrong. That's to reprove, and that's part of our job. And to rebuke is to convict your conscience and to keep Christians faithful to the fold. They keep them close, and they try to convict you, your conscience, and keep you close to the Christian faith. And to exhort is to admonish somebody, tell them that they are doing something wrong. Then not just to tell them they're doing something wrong, but to encourage them to do good and stay faithful. Now, God has called these preachers. God has called preaching a sacrifice. And it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of your time, your whatever else you spend your time with. You sacrifice your time and your life for that. Now, Hebrews 13:15 says that the fruit of our lips is a spiritual sacrifice to God. So we have to be careful not to preach just to please the audience. So something that might be said from the pulpit can maybe offend us or something. But hopefully don't take it as an offense, because it's not meant to be. But it's a fruit of our lips, and we plant the seed, but God provides the fruit. And as a preacher or a teacher, we should give our best to our master. All preachers called by God were not perfect speakers. Moses was told God very emphatically that he was slow of tongue and slow of speech. And he didn't want no part of going to face Pharaoh and not able to speak eloquently and clearly as he wanted to do. So he was scared to death of that. So he asked God if he could send somebody else or do something else. And God said, well, I will help you. I can heal your tongue, but you didn't ask me to. And Aaron, God told Moses to call Aaron and tell him and talk to him. For Aaron was a good speaker. And she said, I will let Aaron speak for you. So he did. So Paul also, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, Paul said he did not come with excellence of speech. So he wasn't an excellent speaker. So most of their people that we have today that are speakers and preachers are not the best. They're not the best people to do the job. There's a lot of elegant speakers out there that make us look to shame. And they're all over the TV and all over the place. And we're to do our job the best way that we can, the best way we know how. And Paul though, he's got some kind of affliction that we knew, but we don't know what it was all about. But his mind was full of hatred for the people in the church. So he tried to destroy us, but he never succeeded. So he got cut down when he met Christ along the way somewhere. Yeah, Paul got cut down because of his hatred. And a personal story, this is for me now, a personal story of mine. As a child, I was a terrible speaker. And I mean terrible. I would not talk to strangers. There ain't no way I would talk to if a person came down the street and visited us. I would be under the roof and under the porch and hid. I'd be as far back under that porch as I could get, because I was scared of these people. And I was a terrible speaker at that time. And I would not talk to my teacher. The first school I went to, I got a whipping every day because I wouldn't talk to her. And we finally moved away from that school and went to another one. And the teacher there, I would not talk to her also. I was in the fifth grade before I talked to that teacher. But she gave me a test and everything. And she knew that I was learning. She knew that I was relatively smart, you know. But she knew that I could talk because I talked to my brothers and family, but I wouldn't talk to strangers, and I wouldn't talk to my teacher. So that was a terrible period that I went through and up until about the fifth grade. But one day, I was out squirrel hunting. We had a 75-acre farm down there with a lot of woods and hills on it. So there was trees to cut down that we used. And I would get up on that stump because my dad took me to Sunday school every morning, so I knew what the preachers did. But I got up on that stump, and I got my little squirrel dog up there with me. And he sat right there while I preached. I preached a sermon on that stump. It was, I only had an audience with my squirrels and my dog, but that's all I had. But I wouldn't do this in front of other people. I would do it out in the woods by myself, but not to other people. So I would. Well, I would sit on that stump, and my little dog would sit there with me until I finished. But now, I would never quit speaking or preaching until I'm not able to do it anymore. Until I'm of the age that I can't do it, or couldn't do it, or not physically able to do it. Because there is too much to tell about Christ's life. Sorry, I'm going over a little bit tonight. I hope you'll be patient with me. But there's too much to tell about Christ's life, his death on the cruel cross, and the third day in the grave. His ascension to heaven to unite with his fathers. These are all things that we've got to talk about and tell the world about. His coming again to gather his saints. And Proverbs 30:30-5 says every word of God is pure. So we are to preach those pure words. And he said his word was the truth. In Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is a true God, the living God, and an everlasting King. So why not preach him? Tell others about him. There's no one else to do it. He could raise up a rock to get his sermon, but he chose to give it to the men of the church. Now, if I want to close this out here, so if there's someone here tonight that needs some help, that's not right with God, I would like to extend an invitation to them to come forward and make this thing right with God, because it's important to do. Because we've got to hear the gospel, and we've got to believe that gospel, and then we've got to repent of the sins that we've done. And then Matthew 10:32 says we should confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that's important. And after that, we are baptized. Acts 2:38 says we can be baptized into God's church and become part of the rest of the group here, become part of the church. So as we sing this last song, I would like to invite anyone who needs to come forward and to make it right with God.